Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
If you have your Bibles with you here this morning, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. So we're doing this series that we've been looking at over ever since the first of the year when we started looking at Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. And I did something this past week that I don't think I've done in my life. I've never looked up the definition of the word mirror. I mean, since we were very little, we've always known what a mirror is, right? I mean, it just seems like that's just something we know, something that we just know what it is, we know what it's there for. You know, we never have to look up the definition of what a mirror is. But this week, just because I looked up the definition in Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says what we would probably expect it to say for a mirror. It says something that gives a true representation. Something that gives a true representation. And since the first of the year, we've been looking in a mirror, so to speak, because we've had this goal. This is the third year of our vision. We have a goal to see Jesus in our lives. And when we look in that mirror, we should be able to see the true representation, a true reflection of Jesus Christ, if we have the qualities, if we have the characteristics that are Christ-like in our life. We've been talking about what those characteristics are, and today I want us to come to the next characteristic. We only have a few more weeks of this before we start our Easter series, but I want to look at the characteristic today of forgiveness. Now, last week we talked about a person, Job, who had a lot of bad things happen to him. Not really for his fault or anything he did, but a lot of bad things took place in his life. And there's another person in the Bible that's very similar to that, and this person is a person by the name of Joseph. Now, Joseph's family was completely dysfunctional. If Joseph were around today, if his family were around today, we would not need to keep up with the Kardashians because Joseph is a lot worse. His dad had two wives and two mistresses, and between those four, he fathered 13 children. Joseph had 11 brothers, one sister, and all of them could not stand him. And they couldn't stand him for a reason. They couldn't stand him because they were mostly jealous of him. Because you see, the woman in Joseph's dad's life that was his favorite was Joseph's mom. And since Joseph's mom was his favorite, it just stood to reason that Joseph was the favorite child. And Jacob, his dad, made no secret of that. Joseph was his favorite child. Well, one day, When Joseph was out, Jacob came to him. He said, "Look, I sent your brothers on a project, and I want to see how they're doing, how they're getting along. So could you go out there and check on them for me?" And so Joseph was going to go out and see how the project was coming along, see how his brothers were doing. And as he was walking toward them, his brothers looked at him, saw him coming from a distance, and said, "You know what? We ought to take that guy and throw him in a ditch. We ought to take that guy and just throw him in the nearest pit that we can find, and we'll leave him there for dead." Can you imagine this? They despised him that much. So they did. They did exactly that. And finally, they came to their senses. They came to logic, and they said, "You know what? We cannot leave him in this ditch. If he dies, we will feel guilty about this for the rest of our lives." So one of them said, "What we need to do is there's a caravan coming. We need to sell him to that caravan," as if this could be better, but we're going to sell him to that caravan, and they did. And for 11 years, Joseph was a slave, and he was sold into Potiphar's house, and in Potiphar's house, he learned Potiphar's trust, and he kind of rose up in his house as a slave. Well, he also became very attracted to, or very, he was a, Potiphar's wife was attracted to him. And so Potiphar's wife made a play for him. She tried to seduce him. And through this process, Joseph was falsely accused. And he was put in prison. And he stayed there for another couple years. And while he was in prison, the Pharaoh had heard about him and heard about all his works and everything that had gone on. And he got out and he rose to become prime minister of Egypt. Now, I tell you all this story to kind of set the stage for the passage that we're getting ready to see. Because when he became the prime minister of Egypt, he was in charge of food distribution. And since he was in charge of this, Egypt experienced a severe famine. All of the land experienced a severe famine. And people came to Egypt just to get food rations. His family, his brothers, came to Egypt to see if there was any food. And they were brought before the prime minister. They didn't know it was their long-lost brother. But when they found out that he was their brother, they had this big, wonderful reunion. The dad came over. Everybody came over. And everything was happy again. For 17 years, he and his brothers and family were reunited and restored, and everything was good. And that's where this passage picks up. Beginning in verse 15, it says this: when Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, when Jacob passed away, they said to one another, "If Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him." So they sent this message to Joseph: before he died, your father gave a command. Now that's a lie. Jacob did not give a command, but this is what they told Joseph. Your father told us this: say this to Joseph, please forgive your brother's transgressions and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when their message came to him. Now they're a little afraid. If dad's out of the way, then Joseph's really going to get after him. Verse 18 says, his brothers also came to him, bowed down before him and said, "We are your slaves." Verse 19, but Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" Verse 20, "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Verse 21, "Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, from the time that we are born, we begin having interaction with others. And of course, this continues, but it really begins from the time that we're born. I think of my granddaughter Hazel over here. When she was first born, boy, she had a lot of interaction. We'd come in there, you know, and she'd look up at us, and I know she didn't really understand what was going on, but we'd go and say, "I love you, so you're such a beautiful little girl." You know, and over the months here, she has begun to interact back. She's begun to respond a little bit and smile and do things, and it happens from the time that we're born, and we get involved in clubs and school and businesses and jobs, and we have interaction with people. We have interaction on a daily basis. And two things are going to be true because of our interaction with people. These two things are always going to happen. We're either going to need to be in the position to forgive somebody, or we're going to need to be in the position to be forgiving. We're going to need to be forgiving, or we're going to need to be forgiven. There's going to be times when people have wronged us and we're going to need to be forgiving to them. There's going to be times that we've wronged somebody else and we're going to need forgiveness. But one of those two things are always going to happen when we have interaction with others. And I just want to have a public service announcement, if I could, just for a moment, because yesterday I was at Target. Went to Target yesterday, went to get a card. We got a pastor retiring here today, and his last Sunday's today, so I want to make sure I got a card for that. And when I go to Target, I always go to the last self-checkout. I mean, that one that's closest to you. That's, for whatever reason, it's easier for me. I just go right to that one. And a lady came up beside me at the one in the middle. And when she came up, you could tell that her body language, just she was not happy. There was something not right. And so there was a lady that, there was always a cashier or somebody nearby that's, if you have any problems, they can help you. And she noticed this too, and she went over and she said, "Ma'am, is everything okay?" And that's all it took. This lady just went completely off on her. She said, "No, everything's not okay, and it's never going to be okay. You don't have one register open. All you've got are these self-checkouts." She said, "I am insulted. I am offended. It's not okay. It is ridiculous." And she was upset, and I'm thinking, what are you offended by? What are you insulted by? I get it. We all have our opinions, and maybe you don't like the fact that we don't have checkouts anymore. But is it really any reason to go nuclear at Target. We go get so upset about things that are going on in the world, and we just really need to lighten up. I believe it. I have no doubt that lady is somewhere in church today, and everything's just perfectly fine. But really, being kind is more than just a sign that we put in our yard. It is something that we need to do on a daily basis. And we need to think about that. We need to think about how we interact and what we do with others. Because there is times when people have wronged us and we need to be forgiving. There are times when we're the ones that go all upset at Target and we need to ask for forgiveness. But one of two things is always going to be true when we interact with people, and this is it. We're either going to need forgiveness or we're going to need to be forgiving. So how do we do it? If forgiveness is one of those character traits that we need to have in order to see more of Jesus in our life, how is it that we do it? Well, I think we take our cue from Joseph, because here's what I've come to find, and maybe you have too. When somebody hurts me, or when I'm involved in a situation that has conflict, sometimes it's so raw, and it's just happened, and we're so close to it that it is very difficult for us to be forgiving, very difficult for us to forgive, because we're so close to the situation. You know what Joseph did? Joseph took a step back and looked at it from a wider angle. He took a wider angle perspective, and that is always what we need to do if we're going to be in the position to forgive. We need to take a step back and not be so close to this very hot situation. I tell you, I learned this years ago. I never will forget. I think I've shared this story with some people before. But years ago, I saw my first professional football game. Now, I'd seen high school football games. I'd been to a lot of high school football games. And I went there, you know, and it's a 100-yard field. You know, everything was good. But I had never been live in person to a professional football game until I went into the Air Force. And it was kind of weird the way it worked out, because I was in Japan when I saw my first live professional football game. I was there one day and serving in Misawa, Japan, on the northern part of the island. My supervisor came to me and said, "Eddie, we need to send you back to Denver for a temporary duty assignment for a month. So get ready. You're going to be going in a few months." And I said, "Okay." So everything was fine. So I flew back to Martin Marietta, Denver, Colorado. I was there for a month. My second Sunday there, I was playing volleyball with some of the Martin Marietta guys, and one of them, after the volleyball game, looked at me and said, "Hey, would you like to go with us to the football game? Denver Broncos in town, John Elway against the New Orleans Saints. Do you want to go with us to Mile High Stadium and go to the football game?" I said, "Oh man, that would be awesome. I would love to go to this football game." You know, the first thing I noticed when I walked into that field, it was really good seats, but when I walked into that stadium and I saw the field for the first time, the first thing that I noticed that surprised me was the field was the same size as the one I saw in high school. For whatever reason, why I believe that a high school football field would be smaller than a professional football field, there's still 100 yards, but I believed it would be smaller somehow. And so when I walked in there, I thought to myself, it's the same size. It's the same size field. Here's something else I noticed when I went and watched that football game. Whenever I would watch it on TV, it just seemed like it was big, but you couldn't really tell what was going on throughout the game. Like John Elway would drop back, and you knew he was going to pass, but you didn't really know who he was going to pass it to. That's what you saw on the screen. You couldn't see it all on the screen. But when you were there in person, I noticed that I could tell everything that was about to happen in the game. You could see exactly who John Elway was targeting, who he wanted to throw it to. You saw it from a much wider perspective. I'm telling you, when it comes to forgiveness, we need to look at things stepping back from a much wider perspective if we're going to understand what it means to forgive. And that is exactly what Joseph did. Let's look together at this first thing that Joseph did here. Joseph understood that in order to forgive, he could not take the place of God. Never take the place of God. So here's what Joseph did with his brothers. Now remember, this has been about 16... My voice is changing. Sorry, I felt my voice cracking there for a little bit. But this has been about 16, 17 years that Joseph has forgiven his brothers. Everybody's been happy. Everything's been fine. The whole family's been restored. Everything has been perfect. So 16, 17 years goes by. Joseph's dad, their dad, Jacob, passes away, and all of a sudden, his brothers completely come apart. What are we going to do? Because Joseph is coming after us now if we don't do something. And the Bible says, as a matter of fact, I just read it here a little while ago, that his brothers lied, went to Joseph, hey, dad said, you got to make sure you forgive us. And they're bringing all this out. And you know what the Bible said? You remember what it said? It said that Joseph wept. Joseph wept. Why did he cry? Because he was heartbroken that after all this time, his brothers are still carrying that guilt of not being forgiven. I've come to find when it comes to forgiveness, there's two types of guilt that usually we've got to deal with. Number one is legitimate guilt. Legitimate guilt is when you have not asked to be forgiven. If you have wronged somebody and you have not asked to be forgiven, that is legitimate guilt. We need to make things right. We need to ask for forgiveness if we have wronged somebody. That is legitimate. But there is also something known as illegitimate guilt. What is illegitimate guilt? Illegitimate guilt is when you have not accepted forgiveness. That person has forgiven you, everything's fine, and this is where Joseph's brothers were. They had not accepted forgiveness, and Joseph was completely heartbroken. And they came to him, they said, you know what, you've got to forgive us. And you remember what Joseph's response was? Joseph's response, well, if we look back in verse 19 again, it says this, Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, am I in the place of God? Now let me tell you something, I know. I've had several people tell me before, I've heard this before, Eddie, you don't understand. You don't know what that situation was like. That has never happened to you. I get it. People tell me all the time, this is so bad. If you had this happen to you, would you really be able to forgive somebody? There's only one person in this universe that has a good excuse on why they should not forgive, and that is God. God has no reason to forgive anybody. But when we feel that way, and when we say, no matter what happens, I'm never going to forgive this person, guess what? We are putting ourselves in the place of God. And even God, who has no reason to forgive, even God, who has no excuse to keep from forgiving, even God says, I forgive if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, C.S. Lewis said it like this, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. As we step back and take a broad picture of really what has gone on, when we're so close to it, it's awful painful, it's awful hard for us to forgive. But if we step back and look at it from a wider perspective, we need to understand we should never take the place of God. Number two, not only should we never take the place of God, we should never forget the providence of God. I like this verse 20. You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Do you know why Joseph did the right thing? Do you know why Joseph behaved in the right way? Because Joseph first believed the right thing. Our belief will always follow with right behavior. What we believe about God will always follow with what we believe about God. Our behavior will always follow our belief. And I tell you that today to tell you that if you really believe this, then we can forgive. If we really believe this, then we can forgive. I want to look at this verse 20. Let's break it down for a moment. Verse 20 begins like this. You planned evil against me. You planned evil against me. I told you a little while ago that several times a year I have this conversation with people. They want to talk about forgiveness. They want to talk about how this happened with them. And usually when I talk to somebody about forgiveness and they've got questions about forgiveness, they start with the whole scenario. They want to tell me the entire, all the details of what happened. Just so I'm clear, just in case my answer may change if they tell me exactly what is taking place. So they share with me all the details, and then it usually follows with this question. Eddie, now that I've shared with you everything that I've told you, do you still believe that I should forgive this person? And you know what my answer is? My answer is always absolutely, definitely. And my answer will always be that. No matter what you come and tell me, my answer is always going to be that. You know why? Because that's the answer that the Bible always gives. Now, that doesn't mean we have to restore. That doesn't mean we reconcile. But the Bible tells us to forgive. Why? Because we don't want to become bitter. We don't want to carry that around. We need to let it go. And that's what forgiveness is. Now, I want us to understand something about forgiveness before we move on here. Joseph admitted that what they did was wrong. Now, I know sometimes we think that forgiveness means that we just have to treat it if it's no big deal. That's not what it's saying here at all. Should I just sweep it under the rug? Should I just say, oh, you know what, you did it, that's no problem. No, Joseph was saying this, look, what you did was bad. What you did was wrong. What you did to me was not okay. He admitted that this was wrong. And that is exactly where we need to start when we start with forgiveness. It's not okay what you did. That's exactly what Joseph said. But having known that, look as he continues here. You planned evil against me, but God planned it. I want to stop with that. God planned it. And this is what he's saying here, that even though you meant this for evil, even though you did something really not very good, what you did was really messed up, even though you did that, guess what? God is still in control. No matter what happens in this world, we have a God who is still in control. And there is nothing that is going to happen to me. There is nothing that's going to take place in my life that God is not in control. God planned it. But not only is God in control, the Bible says he is a good God that is in control. And what you planned for evil, God made good. He made the good, the survival of all these people. That was the end result. We can't forget that when it comes to forgiveness. Never forget the providence of God. Yeah, it really stunk what happened. But you know what? God is in control, and God is good. You know what? I should have brought it out. Terry and Sharon a couple weeks ago got me a little gift, and it's a little, it was a little plaque, and that I stand in my office, and the little plaque says, "Can I get an amen?" I'm going to put that up here next week, and I'm going to have to beg for some amens, because we need to know that God is in control and God is good. Never forget the providence of God. Number three, never forget the promise of God. Verse 21 says, Oh, wow. Okay, let's pray. I'm closing out here. It's good. It's all good. God is good. Never forget the promise of God. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Here's the last thing that Joseph is saying. Joseph is reminding them here that I made a promise to you. I made a promise that I'm going to watch over you, that I'm going to comfort you. We need to remember that God made some promises to us as well that we should not forget. When it comes to forgiveness, why do I need to forgive somebody that's wronged me? Because God has made promises to me that I shouldn't forget. What are the promises that God made? God's made this. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you." Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Cast our cares upon him, because he cares for you. God has promised. God has promised. He knows that you've been wronged. He knows that you've been hurt. He knows that you've been disappointed. And he cares. He cares. We need to forgive and let it go, because God is good. You know, there's a years ago, there was Robert E. Lee was the general of the Confederate Army. Robert E. Lee was defeated. The Confederate Army was defeated. After he was defeated, after he turned in his surrender at Appomattox, Robert E. Lee went on a tour. It wasn't a victory tour, but he just wanted to go through the South and see the harm that had been done, the damage that had been done, see if he could console people that had lost things and the people just build them up after the war. You know, Robert E. Lee, a lot of people didn't know that he did that. But he came to a place in Kentucky, and I'm not sure where he came, but he came to a place in Kentucky, and there was a lady who was just livid. She was very upset about everything that had gone on. And for an example, she brought him out to her front yard, and she said, "I want you to see this oak tree. Look at this oak tree." And the oak tree had been damaged by cannon fire, by bullets, and different other things. "The Yankees did this to my tree. I will never forgive them. I will hate them till the day I die because of what they did to my tree." Robert E. Lee looked at that tree and he said, "Ma'am, if I could give you some advice, it would be this. Cut it down and let it go. Cut it down and let it go." And maybe there's somebody here today who needs that advice. You've been looking at that old oak tree out in the front of your yard, and you cannot let it go. My advice would be, cut it down and let it go. Cut it down and let it go. We need to step back and look at the big picture here, don't we? When it comes to forgiveness, we need to never forget the providence of God, never overlook the promises that God has made, never put ourselves in the place of God.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.